Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Mobile, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. You're listening to number one Millwall podcast, of course. And we speak in the wake of today's fantastic, in the end, 1-0 win for Millwall at Sunderland. I'm just awaiting the arrival of Mr. Harry Warren, who may be on the line now. Harry, can you hear me, mate? I'm just waiting for Harry to join us, listeners.
Can you hear me now, mate?
I can hear you now, Harry. Yep, there we are. These space calls are always a bit kind of rickety, but you're here now, mate. Fantastic win today for the Lions, H. That was some achievement. And a away win at the Stadium of Light. And, of course, with that 1-0 win, safety in the Championship. What a magnificent achievement for Neil Harris.
Absolutely. You know, we done a Twitter space. It seems like... doesn't seem that long ago, realistically.
No.
Where it was seen as, you know, very... I'll be diplomatic. I think the view was mixed from some quarters as to Neil coming back. But it's been proof of the pudding's in the eating, as they say, and safety with two games to go quite comfortably in the end, realistically. Even with being the most Millwall results of all time, getting beaten by Huddersfield and Rotherham. So,
I mean, I want to take listeners back to 17th of Feb this year. We've just lost 2-0 to Sheffield Wednesday at home. It would prove to be Joe Edwards' finale. And I was just reading his post-match comments after, obviously, that very poor loss at home. At that point, Harry, it left us in 21st position, 33 points in the table. 1 point in front of QPR, who are in the bottom three. QPR, Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham, who obviously are relegated. But I was just looking at Joe Edwards' comments. I kind of feel for him because he was plunged into a difficult situation. But there's a kind of a defeatism that's almost soaked into his post-match comments. It's going to be difficult, he says. We're in a period where confidence is clearly at a low. You see it when the players are out there. There's a lot of good intention and attitude, but there's moments in games where it's not coming off. And so it goes on. Now, I've not arranged this show tonight to knock Joe Edwards, but the change in atmosphere, Harry, with Neil's arrival was immediate. Obviously, 1 week on from that drab 2-0 loss at home, leaving us very much in the lurch at that point, to 1 week later where we go to Southampton, win 2-1. Dramatic turnaround. I mean, I'm actually weighing up, Harry, where it sits in the great achievements list of Millwall managers, because it will be in the top bracket. I've got to tell listeners, you know, when you look at our record prior to this 2-0 loss, you know, we were on a slide. I think it was you know, a whole series of defeats, and I think the last victory we had was in that run at Christmas. So it's an immense achievement, magnificent. I've got to take my hat off to Neil. In the wake of this achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were dead and buried, weren't we? Let's absolutely have this right. We were dead and buried. You know, certain players could have looked like they just looked like they couldn't play football anymore. Like that's literally, they were like 11 strangers that you put together on a Saturday morning to play in a Saturday amateur league level at times. It was, you know, and for all the nice passing and good forward play, You know, it was like we constantly left the kitchen door open at the back of the house for burglars to walk in, and then were surprised to find that we'd been burgled. You know, it was a time the defence just looked like a completely different entity. And then within 7 days, you know, you go to Southampton, who are even still now pushing to try and get into the Premier League with, you know, illusions of grandeur, and you literally turn up and to quote somebody else, you go there and you boil their piss by winning 2-1, and so that sets the marker of another perfectly orchestrated Neil Harris start to a Neil Harris Millwall reign. And you know, I've watched the 9-minute interview. If you haven't, listeners, please go and listen to it, because I think, you know, yes, we can be cynical about the modern football and the EFL selling off large parts of its history, somewhat with the FA Cup and God knows what else, Super Leagues and all this bollocks. But there is a man there that totally, totally gets it and gets us. And that last minute, you know, it was, I think, I got to be honest, I think it was distasteful after Rotherham and Huddersfield. I think some of the things that we saw on this app, which brings out the worst in all of us,
110%. Yeah.
The bloke, he's not on Holloway. You know, he's not Steve Lomas. Like, it's a totally different... I can take Millwall, us giving Millwall shit or when they deserve to be given shit. And I think, and that's fine. But then when it goes personal about people that generally give a shit, I think that's up. But that's hard to stomach. Maybe that's age, Nick, that's coming into it. Maybe that's a conscience, which is something I don't normally have. But
you've always had in football generally, you've always had extreme people commenting. I mean, the difference being that at Coldblow Lane, it was someone shouting from the crowd, whatever. You know, we all know what gets said at football matches. The big difference now is you've got this platform called Twitter, which elevates your voice to being something global, and which is incredible, but also highly dangerous. And, you know, we've all read the stuff that you're talking about there, H. And I found it distasteful and ignorant of the man's contribution to Millwall history. If anyone wants to know, if anyone's out there not aware of how much Neil Harris has given as a player and as a manager, well, I'll tell you now, 430 games as a player, 138 goals in two spells, instrumental in our promotion as a player in the 2000-2001. Obviously, he has his health issues. And then as a manager, he's won the League One playoffs in 2016-17, achieved eighth position in the Championship 2017-18. And now, in my opinion, these 11 games, 6 wins, 2 draws and 3 losses, which defy logical explanation because they're at some of the worst of Leeds, but then two of the worst teams in the division. But that's Millwall, I suppose. 20 points from a possible 33, Harry. You know, if anyone out there says, you know, who's Neil Harris? Well, that's who Neil Harris is. I when I did my calendar, H, I put Millwall legend on this. I can't think of many other players that I could or figures at the club that would really step into those shoes, into that term.
No, I don't think. I mean, when you sum it up like that as well, like, you know, that's not, those are just headlines. There's other stuff in there, you know.
Absolutely.
That you're fucking some of the big den moments, like recent times are Neil Harris sides, you know, Everton, Leicester beating the champions of England.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fucking, the list goes on and on. The all-time leading goal scorer, the goal, the comeback goal at Watford, you know, the one that people want to turn.
Huge moments. Massive moments, yeah. You know. Yeah, I mean, anyway, there it is. That's people and that's social media for you. Just to look at today's game, listeners, it wasn't a classic. I watched it so you didn't have to out there in X, Twitter, whatever else you were doing. You were good judges. It was, I've written down holiday football about halfway through a quiet first half as I got here. There was one moment where Dan Ballard, anyone remember him? He went close. Should have scored, in truth. It was a cross in, I think it was a corner, actually. It came in and they had a pretty decent chance. He put it over the bar. But, you know, there was a kind of a drifty beach holiday kind of vibe about today's game. Return of Casper Denor. I think Billy was ill, I read. Billy Mitch was ill today, so Casper started. Team did great. I mean, and then the second half, there was a lovely move for a goal on 71 minutes. crossing from Ryan Longman. And I thought Watmore had finished it at the near post. Apparently it was a Ballard own goal, according to Carl, but I didn't see that and I was watching it on the iPad. So I didn't really get a great view of it. It was the images weren't quite, you know, close enough for me to really tell you, but whether it went in through Duncan Watmore and his factor 50 suntan foot or whether it came off of Dan Ballard, I don't really know. It don't really matter. It went in the net, 1-0. And that was largely it. I mean, there wasn't, Sunderland weren't really at the races. They were on mentally on Ryanair, I think, going away, Harry.
They're only 3 points in front of us, which is somehow mental. We're in a relegation battle, you know, and there's up to 12th for pretty much within, you know, if we hadn't have lost to Rotherham and Huddersfield, it would have been safe.
Well, yeah, I mean, 20 points from 33, a possible potential 33. Obviously, we've got two more games yet to go in the season. We'll see how Neil wants to play those fixtures. So, yeah, I mean, what a turnaround in form, what a turnaround in mentality. Because once we went a goal ahead today, Harry, I really didn't think, and I didn't see Sunderland, who weren't, you know, they weren't giving it 100%. They were away with the fairies today a bit. But, you know, we looked in control and we looked like we were going to get the 3 points from the moment that ball went in the net through Watmore. You know, the contrast with the defeatist kind of vibe that was around the Den just a few months ago is incredible. I can't get over the change in mentality generally. And you feel it everywhere around the ground, mate.
Yeah, but that's you know, that's not the elephant in the room here is, unless you go away every week, and there will be people listening to this maybe on the coaches on the way back or the train or whatever, I don't know. And that's off to you again. But you lot are mental, right? Because before Dan Rowett, we were always shit away from home, realistically, in whatever league we've been in all the time that I can remember, unless you have a sort of mad sort of Millwall season where we do well, really well. And our form has always sort of, our form on staying up has always relied on being good at Den. And harnessing the Den, and it's something that few managers get. And for all of Gary Rowett's plus points, the one major coming back time after time was he never got out to harness the Den. For how good and how, you know, consistent we were, he just could never get, you know, I don't want your rigid sort of missionary position football. I want a bit of variety. I want a bit of spice in my life. And he just didn't get it. And now, you know, I go to the Den and I expect us to, I don't necessarily expect us to win, but I don't expect us to get beat, which is a very different way of going there, which I couldn't say for most of this season.
No.
And it matters. And that does matter. Your home form, you know, how are you going to keep getting those 20,000 people to turn up to it's by winning, you know, it matters. The result matters. If you win 1-0 of someone's arsehole, you don't care how bad you play, right? It doesn't matter. So yeah, I think just by winning at the Den matters so much to us as a football club. It cannot be overstated. And you know, every time Neil does an interview, he kind of rings back to that. I think you know, it's a cliche, but it's so fucking true. You know, because how bad must it be to play at the Den when you know that every misplaced pass is going to be grown to fuck, and you're gonna have to dig in as the home side. It almost becomes difficult for you as a home player. You almost fear playing at home. You almost get a fear of the Den, and that should never happen. It should always be, you know, the opposition turning up going, fuck me, they're going to be fucking horrible. I don't want to be here. It's Tuesday night in February. It's pissing down with rain. There's 14,000 of them cunts out there who basically want to call me a cunt for 90 minutes. And long may it continue. And if you're not on board with that, you best not come, because I don't want you there. You know what I mean? It's a special thing that we've got at our club. And long may it continue that people want to come and make the Den a fortress. And I felt like I'd lost that for so long. And in these 10, 11 games, I've got it back. And I can't take that off more to him for how much he's changed how I feel about going to the Den and how I feel about the club.
No, I agree. I mean, you've mentioned already the post-match interview, and I second what you said about anyone that gets a chance, have a listen to it. It's on the official Twitter feed. I dare say it's on the website or whatever else they stick it on. They've put the full 9-minute interview on. It's well worth a listen, listeners. And it's really nice for it not to be just the 1-minute clip. I mean, if anyone's listening out there from Millwall, that's the way to do it. That you know, okay, you know, we all know that sometimes some of the post-match interviews can be a bit cliched, but if you want to get a sense of what Millwall means to Neil Harris, and it is, you know, it's genuine. He's not just saying this. It comes across in oodles in the post-match interview. It's well worth a listen, as I've said. So yeah, I mean, I put his achievement as a player and as a manager in arguably he'd be in a conversation about Millwall's greatest. You know, I mean, obviously as a manager, John Docherty did the ultimate and took us into the first division. And likes of Mark McGee in their time have taken us close, and you know, even Gary Rowett took us close to the playoffs anyway. But you know, if you're talking about greats, the playing record and the managerial record, and this on this occasion, Harry, we were spinning like I watched a video from the Ukraine. There was a Russian plane spinning, been shot in the tail. It was spinning out of control on the video. And that was us going down to League One. And that would have been a disaster for Millwall Football Club. You know, anyone that's looked at the accounts post that's been online, I think it was this week. It'll move so fast now, Harry. But, you know, that's the cost of slipping out of this Championship division would have been horrendous. And this turnaround in form has saved us from that. So, you know, hats off to him. I don't know if anyone wants to join our conversation. Harry and I have put this together very impromptu. So if anyone does want to join us and extol the virtues of Neil Harris, do come on. It was interesting today, Harry, because I hadn't realised that both Callum, what's his name? Styles.
Yeah, it was Callum Davidson.
Callum Styles was playing for Sunderland as well as Dan Ballard. The artistic midfielder. Callum Davidson was the manager, the assistant manager under Gary Rowett. I got my Callums mixed up there, listeners. Right. But Styles was playing for them. I didn't realise he was out there for Sunderland today.
I guess he went out on loan.
Guess so. Yeah. I mean, obviously, he was much discussed amongst the Millwall, you know, circles as a player for us. But I thought Casper Dunnell did okay. I know you were at the you're playing yourself this afternoon, so you didn't see the game, did you?
No, I was playing. If we continue with the FA, touching upon the big thing that you did with Mike the other day, you know, how the FA say they put loads of money into grassroots.
Yeah.
I didn't play a game in February, so I'm still playing football. I'll be playing football on Tuesday nights. A Saturday league will be playing football on Tuesday nights.
I don't know what Jurgen would say about that, Harry. He wouldn't be very happy with that, would he?
No, it'd probably be our fault. How could it possibly be Liverpool or Man City's fault? How could it ever be their fault? I digress, but there we go. For me, we're on one line, I'll say, fucking boycott the competition. Let 732 teams boycott the competition and let the 20 fucking Premier League teams do what they want with it next season. But we'll do our own FA Cup with replays and call it fucking the FA Cup.
The EFL Cup or something. No, it would be nice.
Just call it what it is. Let's say the FA are cunts and they want more money. So let's fuck it up. It's all bollocks, because if it was really about player welfare and the care for players in the game, I could get behind that. But the fact that you have no replays from round four as we are at the moment anyway, and the FA, and they've now taken it back to round one for next season, when, remember, that Premier League teams are not invited into the competition until round three.
Round three.
Means absolutely fuck all. So, you know,
I think it's widely seen to be the bollocks, basically. Their reasoning is all about cramming in the extra fixtures from the money spinning European competition, which is going to expand. They've got some new format in the European Champions League, and I don't know if it extends into the Europa competitions. I don't know how it's going to work, but they're going to have like a league system, listeners, next season, where you play 10 games in the prelim rounds, and then they're going to have like a league table of, I don't know, it's a very complicated system.
What would really fuck this up, and the only way the FA could have somewhat sweetened it, is said that that the Premier League teams would have to play a certain amount of English talent, because that would fucking completely fuck up their dreams. Because most teams don't have that many English under 20.
They used to have that, didn't they? This is way back in the 90s. They used to have a thing where you could only play four foreign players, but I think that fell foul of the EU law, but I can't be bound by that anymore, because we've come out of it.
In Italy as well, you don't have it either, so they've found a way to circumnavigate it. You're only allowed to register a certain amount of foreign players played in a certain place. Any player of Football Manager will know it's quite hard if you manage an Italian team to sort of, you know, and that's, you know, they won a Euros against us by having younger talent. But we digress away from Millwall.
We do.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Achtung, Millwall.
That last minute of that interview, when he talks about, you know, that's, I think that was more of a, I think that's a peek behind the curtain there. I think that's a massively nice last minute of that 9 minute.
Remind me, what that was about his family.
That was about, I made a promise and my family.
Oh, to John Berylson.
My family are Millwall fans. I think that was a massive thing. Things, you know, as you said, normal sort of football bullshit in terms of end of game interviews. And that certainly last minute was pretty box office for me, I've got to be honest. So
it's a great interview. I mean, it does give you an insight into the man himself. You know, personal story here, Harry. When, you know, as I make no secret, I had a bit of health trouble a few years ago, 3 years ago now, nearly. When I got out of hospital, I got a phone call. I think Aaron had had something to do with this anyway.
Yeah, I think it was Aaron.
Aaron put this together. Anyway, I took a phone call. I actually thought it was one of these scam calls. It was sitting there in the evening, and it was like a random number came up, the mobile number. And anyway, it turned out to be Neil Harris. It was Neil Harris. He'd arranged for Neil Harris rang me up to talk about my health, how am I doing, Millwall, you know, you name it, England, Millwall, his career, is what the club means. And we must have been on the phone for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. I've never known anything like it, Harry. And it was genuine. It wasn't like, you know, you can go through the motions on these things and you can wish someone well and it's all, you know, done and dusted in a few moments. But this was like a 15, 20 minute conversation. And when I put the phone down, my wife said to me, "Who's that?" I said, "It's Neil Harris."
It's the Messiah. And I should know. I followed a few.
She said, "What the Millwall footballer?" I said, "Yeah, that's right, Neil Harris." And it's, you know, I was a bit. It takes your breath away.
Starstruck.
Well, yeah, because what do you say when you're talking to somebody who, on a professional and a sporting and, you know, on a human level, you admire? Because I know well known what he's been through health wise in his life. So for him to take the time out of his evening, I believe it was, to call me and speak to me for 15, 20 minutes or so, took me back. I don't often deal with that kind of thing very well. You know, it's like, you can listen to criticism or someone slating you, but being praised is the most difficult thing to listen to. So, you know, that's, I mean, the reason I mention that, listeners, is the interview where, you know, obviously safety is now assured. We have Championship football again next season. And you can just tell from the interview how much it means to Neil. One thing I did get from the interview, Harry, And I wanted to kick it around with you, actually. Obviously, he's on an 18-month contract. He's been brought in to do a job, which he's now done, which has saved the club in the Championship. And he was talking about when I come to leave the club. So I'm going to... I don't know, and none of us can see inside of his head, but he'll be here for next season. And I'm going to guess that he might see that. I think he said he's going to leave the club in a better place than he found it. And there's kind of like a limited period attached to that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like he may well call that quits at the end of that year.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like I'm here to, you know, I was asked to come in and done the job. Part one of this job is to save us, and part two of the job is to build us to go again and break. He mentioned the cycle.
The cycle of
when it doesn't go like when it goes wrong, we get relegated. Basically, that's that, and especially in the Championship, and then we have to rebuild again. And I feel like the club have gone right. We broke the cycle. Now, how do we stop? How do we move forward and have another go without you know? Normally, we'd feel like this way because we'd have been relegated and we'd have just come back up. Do you know what I mean? And we'd have where we haven't had to go down this time to kind of feel like. It shouldn't feel like a promotion, but it fills you with as much joy because it didn't. It was so unexpected. Does that make sense?
When you're on the Titanic and you grab hold of a life belt, I think it must feel like you've both lost something but gained something as well.
I'm wet, but I've got a life raft.
I'm clinging to this thingy or whatever it might be, and it, you know, we were sinking. When you look at the. Yeah, you know, the way the results have gone all season, in truth, because we're forgetting Gary Rowe at the start of the season, and at one point people were harking back to how he had it organised, but the squad, for whatever reason, weren't motivated to play under Gary Rowe. They seemed to lose faith and confidence in Joey Edwards when he came in, and only Neil Harris seems to have been able to get a tune out of this. And you know, haven't they done it? Because you could have asked very little more, other than perhaps. And this was a point that struck me in his interview, Harry. It's all about the Millwall cycle. The Millwall cycle also includes going to somewhere like Rotherham, getting beat, or Huddersfield, getting beat. I think he'd like to break that as well. That's falling over your shoelaces in you know, big situations.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's important. I think also, you know, this idea. A lot of people online seemingly wanted him to do this season and then not do any more. I think that would be ridiculous because of the amount of work we've got to do transfer window wise.
Got a lot of work. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's silly. But also the fact is that if we get anywhere near this form and say it very quietly, if we get anywhere near it, you'll be at the right end of the table. Because if you look at how the table is this season, there is a lot of shit in the Championship, and you don't particularly have to be that good to be at the right end of the table. You know, if we can finish in the top 10 next season, I'm saying it like it's a fucking million miles away. We're only 3 points. I think we're 3 points off of being 12th.
If we get results against Plymouth and then we go to Swansea on the last day.
So for how bad we've fucking been, right, and for all the shit that we've put up with this season, you could end up looking at it, if you didn't know the details, you go, oh, it was all right. It was a consolidation season. But it's not been like that. Let's get it right. But it is a season where, in the cycle that he's mentioned, we normally get relegated. We haven't, thank fuck. You know, Joe Edwards reminded me of appointing David Tuttle.
That bad? I think that's harsh, Harry. I think that's harsh.
Why is it harsh? Let's call shit out for what it is now. You know how everyone went, oh, let's have an inquiry, right? You know, and now we're safe. We can have that inquiry. If we all want to have that inquiry, now is the time to be doing it while we're positive and happy.
The only thing I'd say...
We won four games under Gary Rowe in his time this season. We won four games under Joe Edwards. And Neil Harris in 10 games has won more than both of them. Now, you can question, I don't think realistically you can question Gary Rowe. I think that was naturally, I think there was a natural break.
Well, he was at the end of his Millwall cycle.
I think realistically what should have happened last season is that Gary should have walked away after the Blackburn game. I'd agree with that.
I would agree with that,
I think that was the golden opportunity, and Luton are the Millwall. that what's happened to Luton is exactly what should have really happened to Millwall last season. We should have been Luton. That was our chance. But it didn't happen. You know, what do they do? They only build you up to let you down, Millwall, of course. But the Joe Edwards appointment was lovely and ambitious, but misguided, I think.
This is where I was going to come in, because I mean, all right, let's Tuttle, you know, was a desperation play in a desperate season, and you know, he was a very average player, and yeah, he proved to be a less than average manager. But Joe Edwards came to us highly regarded, and with links and contacts at a very high level. Where he froze, in my opinion, is the hard reality of football management, which is not an easy profession. And as Neil Harris has shown us since he's come back, you have to be able to, it's almost an art form, Harry. You've got to be able to motivate a squad of players to play for you and thereby ignite the crowd. He mentions this in his interview today, this kind of duality of getting the crowd involved, and then the players respond to that, or do they, the crowd respond because the players are involved. It's like a dual thing. It happens to in harmony. I don't think Joe Edwards would have loved to have tapped into that, but he never got it. And you know, it may be that he comes back another time in another place as a good manager. I don't know, but I think he just froze in the headlights. That was the juggernaut. It was Millwall on a bad day. I don't think he knew what to do with himself.
I think standing in that coat with Frank Lampard and Gareth Southgate told me more about Joe Edwards than anything I saw during his Millwall management career. So that's all I needed to know.
Maybe. I won't fight you over it. But he's certainly been turned up. What I admired about the Edwards appointment, and I don't know where the Neil, if he's going to stick around next season, it seems he will be. Planning for the future seems to be the thing. He says he's going to be speaking with James Berylson, over what happens transfer-wise over the course of the summertime. But there must be some building a platform for possibly someone else to come in at a later stage. I suppose it's demonstrated for Jimmy Berylson the desperate need to understand and motivate Millwall, because the den is your weapon. And sadly for Joe Edwards, he never quite clicked on that front, did he?
No, but then I also think that you've got to understand, I think it's difficult to understand us. If you're not one of us, we must look like the most batshit, fucking crazy Adams family sort of turnout ever, because...
Well, back in the old days, people used to go to what is now the Imperial War Museum, which was then the Bedlam Bethlehem Mental Hospital, and watch the lunatics there. That was an afternoon out, you know, see what they're up to. I think that's why a lot of these Groupon tourists come down to the den to watch the spectacle, because it must look like a madhouse from the outside at times. So you've got to be a certain type of manager. You've got to somehow have a skin as thick as a rhino and still mean what you say and believe in what you say. And I think that really comes across in the interview that the club have put up today. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think realistically, I know we're saying that, you know, if we start well and we get momentum, the problem is the Millwall train, whether it's going up or down, is like a fucking, is the runaway train out of like Dumbo or whatever it was called, like the caboose or whatever. We're like just fucking, we're gone. Right, so it's either like, and once you get that momentum going, you know, you can go on a 14-game unbeaten run at Millwall. It is, but also Millwall could go equally just as
it can run you over as well, can't it? Yeah,
you know, and that's the club in a nutshell. It is very, we don't finish 13th very often. You know, in all my time, I don't think there's really been many 13th place finishes. There's either promotion, relegation, fighting Lewisham Council, you know, trips to Europe. Like, this is, you know, I've only been alive 34 years, and seemingly everything that's happened to the club other than getting promoted to the first division has happened in the last 40 years. Like, realistically, it's so mad. Like, realistically.
Wouldn't be Millwall unless there's a regular existential threat to your existence. You know, that's what we seem to thrive on. Who did you vote for player of the season, Harry? Who was your choice?
Oh, it's Ryan Leonard every day of the week and twice.
Yeah, Ryan Leonard. He actually played in midfield briefly today because
they took out him to play.
Denor cramped up, and towards the end of the game, he went down about 85 minutes cramp. And they brought in Hutch to cover the last few minutes and moved Leonard into midfield. So he was actually playing in his position. But no, I can't imagine who else people would be voting for.
I was quite, no.
It's there's a link on oh, right, okay. On the website. I don't know if it's still
long
open.
Since the days are where they used to hand out fucking bits of paper around.
No,
around.
It's all done. It's all done electronically now.
Anyone who hasn't actually watched the fucking games can vote for it. Just so I'm aware. Mm. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
give
yeah.
It, someone,
but
someone
I mean,
give it to, someone give it to someone we've not actually given an opinion appearance to.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Sarkic had nothing to do today, really. Their chances were wide, so he did some his regular goalkeeping duties. I was quite impressed and have been impressed for some while with Danny Mac.
Yes,
because he's filling in that left back position. And it reminds me of Ian Dawes, and that's high praise, younger listeners. That is high praise because he's playing out of position. He's doing it very well, and you know, I he's a right back, isn't he? So you know, but he's having to cover left side because of injuries. And I think he's a good shout for, if not player of the season, certainly you know one of the also mentioned in dispatch.
Yeah, I think Danny's found a sort of freedom of being able to defend. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Danny's not like a modern fullback in the sense that he's going to go like sort of Norton Cuffey style.
Wing back
in
it.
Going
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
To defend is now his first job. And he thrives in doing that job. And there's a lot to be said for making football simple and easy for people. You know, he's a...
But I'd say the same about Jake Cooper, Harry. You know, he's no longer under any responsibility to start playing around like he's Paolo Maldini or,
Virgil van Dijk.
Vincent Kompany in his prime. You know, he can just lump it and that's cool. And Tanganga, I think, is obviously a lone player, so we mustn't fall in love with him, as you've pointed out on many an occasion. But I think Jake, with a good central defender alongside him, and Tanganga is a very good central defender, comes into his own. He's blossomed. We've almost rediscovered the old Jake, because I thought he'd gone walkabouts and was away with the fairies, but I thought he's really made a big improvement since the return of the Messiah.
Thank you. Keep calling him the Messiah. I like it. We're calling it. It's fine.
Miss. this is a space, listeners. So if you do want to join, Harry, no one's come forward yet. So
everyone's terrified. They're all wiping the piss.
Everyone's terrified of coming in, expressing any non-Harris support opinion on here. I think Zian Fleming apparently. You know, I thought we played well today. He put himself about physically out there. It wasn't a brilliant game, listeners. So you know, there was no kind of resurrection of Johan Cruyff out there today from Zian. But it was he did well. He put himself around physically. He got under the skin of Dan Ballard. There was a little bit of pushing and shoving when Zian had left the calling card in the tackle. And I'd love to see it. It seems, Harry, that he may be moving on. I mean, it may be that that's the right move for Zian and the club if that comes to pass. I don't know. What's your take on Zian?
I like him. I still like him. I understand why. I understand why maybe it might be mutually beneficial if Zian moves on. If we take Zian as a player out of it, we saw our accounts, and we also know that.
We know that
Jed Wallace probably could have gone for money at some point. Jake Cooper could have gone for money at some point. You know, the art of flipping players, as I'd call it, you know, a bit like flipping houses, is to buy low, sell high.
Absolutely.
We need to get a bit better at the selling high part of it. We're doing the buying low now, I think, a bit better. But the selling on bit is the bit that we're struggling with. And if you look at, you know, we all like to say the Brentford model or the Brighton model or all these models. Everyone's got a model. Basically, it comes down to if you buy someone from a league that has less money than you and you bring them to your team and they play well for half a season, it might be time to just go, yeah, that's okay. You need more than one. You can't afford to have one a year or one every couple of years. We need to get better at finding two and three a year. And once we manage to do that, it will become a little bit more It's the right word. A little bit more acceptable, a little bit more palatable, because you'll know and you'll trust the recruitment team to get two or three more. I know it's very difficult because everyone's probably doing this, but a Fred Omnadimna can play right back in the Premier League for Luton. I suppose anything's possible.
There's hope for us. Hope for us all. I mean, I actually think, and it's a football trait, not just a Millwall thing, but people get very, very personally attached. It's a business, listeners. So if Zian Fleming, with his Dutch directness, says, I'm going to come and play, or, you know, implies he's coming to Millwall for a couple of years to gain experience in the Football League Championship, which is a pretty good base to make a move upwards, he would hope, to a highly paid job with one of the Premier League's lesser lights, then that's good. And we get money out of it. We've acquired him as a relative unknown from, was it Sittard, Fortuna Sittard.
A team that none of us had ever heard of before.
Never heard of them. I mean, you know, I pride myself and know a little bit about Dutch football, but I didn't really know much about them. But if we can sell him and there's a profit in there, there's got to be this an establishment that this is not a personal affront. This is a business, and that we've bought cheap and we're going to sell dear. Hopefully, that's what the the deal requires.
I can't even remember what we paid for Fleming now. Was it like 1.8, 1.25, something like that?
I can't remember. It was one million plus, I think.
Was it a million odd euros? So it was actually less, but it was all right.
Dutch guilders, I think it came. Guineas or something. Don't know. I think it was one point something. I mean, whatever it was. If we're selling him for more than we've bought, then that's good business. But my point being, Harry, that football fans, you'll never get this utopia, but you've got to understand it's a business. And then from Fleming's point of view, he's played well for Millwall, but he's not born into the creed. He's not one of us. So he's going to move on when the opportunity arises. It's kind of some might regard that as cold, but it's the truth of the matter. So if we can sell him and get replacement fresh blood in, then all well and good. I think that's the way we're going to progress. It's going to be an interesting summertime. Clearly, there's a lot of development, and it'll be interesting to see if any of the younger players come through from the under 21s. I'm thinking the central defenders, particularly, you know, Mitchell at Lincoln, and whether Akoli's up to it or not, I don't know. It's a big leap, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a massive leap. I think it's also we need a ball playing centre back. That's definitely something that we needed. We've needed for three seasons, but also we need to decide what we're going to play. We're going to play 4-2-3-1. That's fine, but we might need some central midfielders that can carry the ball. Also might need a right back. I mean, if Ryan Leonard is as good as he is at right back, imagine what he'll be like in his actual position.
We saw it briefly. We saw about 3 minutes worth, plus a bit. Oh, it was about 10 minutes, a bit of injury time today. So we saw it for a while.
So maybe there's.
But it was at the end of a long hard game.
So maybe there's a bit there to be looked at. But that's the lovely sort of nature of this. I feel like there's people that will naturally need to move on and be moved on and so on like that. But it is a bit of a blank canvas. The problem is like everyone at Millwall knows that normally Millwall blank canvas is like any time we have money to spend, we're not very good with it. But if we've got £4.80 in the lemonade money at the back of the sofa, we tend to make the most
a bit of fluff.
The problem is as well is that non-league. I will say this as well, you know. Bar my ignorance, but I've got a mate who's a Southend fan who goes, and he goes to all these fucking non-leagues, and, you know, by the grace of God go I, that we could have ended up being there if you know, if we hadn't nicked that 4-3 in the last minute and had Chris Brown selling us tanning oil or whatever the fuck he sold him to keep his job. But he told me about the fucking sums of money in the National League now to try and get into League Two. It's fucking unbelievable. It's sort of like upper League One money to try and get out of the
escape the National League morass. Well, it's quite a difficult league. You've got to win it. The winner of the National League gets automatic promotion, but then you've got quite a long tail of playoff football. So, you know, obviously playoffs are always a something of a lottery. So you can do pretty well in that league and still not get out of it. It's a tough old league. But you're right. It could very nearly have been us. In those big moments, thankfully we rode our luck, and it's not us for the moment, at least anyway. What about Obafemi up front? I mean, I really like him, but I'm going to get a sense he might be a little bit out of our price range. once he's got his full fitness and strength back, Harry?
A little bit out of our price range, yeah. That's all I'm going to... Yeah, a little bit. If anyone's seen his car in the car park, you'll get...
Has he got a DeLorean or something? What's he driving?
He's got a Rolls Royce.
That doesn't need to tell you
that he may be out of our price range. I think I'll leave that one there for you all to work out. But you know,
fair enough.
But I suppose that's reality of what we're up against. You know, the league is taking shape. Let's Portsmouth are coming up. They'll come up and.
Yeah,
probably have a go, and then you've got Derby. I think got promoted to
Derby. Two big clubs. They'll carry some.
And then probably from the Premier League, you could end up with maybe Everton, maybe Nottingham Forest. You know, the league's going to be a fucking proper championship next year, and we're in it.
Well, Sheffield United look like they're coming down, aren't they? And you know, they're normally in the Championship. They're normally contenders, and then they flop badly up at the top.
I think what's mad about that is that they sold their best two players on the eve of the season, and then seemingly have been surprised that they've had a terrible season. The Coventry haven't been as good this season in our league because they sold their best two players. Unfortunately, you've got and what they've spent their money on doesn't seem to have got them over the line. So you know, it's a going back to what we've just said, it is difficult, and it will be difficult for the recruitment team. But at least 2 weekends before the end of the season, we can say to the recruitment team, we're in this league, and this is start to have those conversations of we're in this league, and this is the budget, and we go from there. But it's nice to not have anything to go into the last day.
It takes a weight off your mind. Yeah, I mean, you can be very casual about that last away game at Swansea. Now you can watch it on the telly quite happily, or you can go down there if you want to. If you really got a big desire to get up early and go to Swansea, it won't matter.
Plymouth at home next weekend.
Plymouth at home. That should be a celebratory vibe there, and I hope it is. I'm just thinking, if I were Neil Harris, probably. You know, playing youngsters won't be. You might see them during the course of the Plymouth game, maybe, depending on how it goes. But I'd expect this first choice 11 to at least start against Plymouth, and then maybe you might experiment in the final game at Swansea. I don't know. How would you play it, H, if you were in his shoes?
I think it'd be nice to. I think it's only the right thing to do is to be Millwall at the Den, isn't it? Really. I mean, the youngsters
get a win. Yeah.
Youngsters are great, and you know, Eté and. It'd be nice for them to get 20, 25 minutes and we'd be winning 1-0, 2-0 and it would be nice and it would be comfortable, but it's Millwall, so it probably won't end up like that. But we're free. We're free now. We've got a long summer time. The pressure's off. Could we play with the handbrake off? Yeah, we could. Will we? I doubt it. I think we'll play the way we've been playing. But I agree.
There's certain
players. Maybe we'll get a few... You know what we won't know at the time until afterwards, but maybe we'll get a few goodbyes. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it will be, we say this every summer, but recruitment will be so important. And realistically, you know, from where we've been in terms of how bad this season's been, but how close we're going to end up to being sort of mid-table and quite comfortable. We're not a million miles away from having a playoff push this season, realistically. Not a million miles away if we get the recruitment right. So, you know, it's looking up. I'm a lot more confident now than I was at fucking Christmas. Let's put it this way. I'm thinking the only way we'd have a promotion fucking race is in League Two in 2 seasons' time. That's how fucking bad I thought we were. Not now to defend. It's fucking awful. But there we go. Hence is the power of... He's definitely the best manager in my lifetime, obviously. And I know that ruffles feathers because you've all had the Doc or whatever, depending on your age. But I think he outstrips McGee. I know that McGee got us promoted and we got to the playoffs and Stern John and all that. But I think just for longevity now and the different type of job this one is on top of the other ones and then the playing career on top, I definitely think you've got a... There is only one word, and you're right. It is legend, and the fact that he gives a shit matters so much at our club, doesn't it? It really does, and
It really does. I mean, you know, obviously we spoke earlier on, won't go back all over the football replay, FA Cup replay business, but the statement that Steve Cavanagh put out in the week goes down really well. These things are so important at Millwall. And, you know, as you said, the fact that Neil Harris clearly cares about the club will take him, well, he's got, it will take him a long way. It's the wrong way to put it. But, you know, it helps sustain the energy of the club completely. We've had no requests to join us on here, Harry. I think we might have blown everyone away. If you do, listeners, if you do want to contribute, you can send me your voice notes if you prefer to do that rather than speaking to the globe on a live stream. I can't blame you if you want to do that. Go on Twitter. You can send me a direct message. There's a little voice command. Just press that and speak and let me know what you think of this season's achievement. I think Neil Harris's achievement as a manager this season is up there with the very, very best of Millwall managers over the many, many years of their existence. So
don't forget Dave Livermore as well. The forgotten man.
Who? and Adam Barrett.
Adam Barrett must have changed, you know. What a season for Adam Barrett. He's been manager. He's had three different employers.
No. I mean, in fairness to him, he's, you know, he got slaughtered. Some of the blokes I was talking to when we had some of the managerial changes in the, you know, sort of blokes in block one and wherever, were scathing. I won't repeat what they said, but scathing. I think people often invent cartoon figures about who they want these people to be, and then they can rant about them, even though they've never met them or spoken to them. So, yeah, I mean, this includes David Livermore. You're right. 100% right, Harry. And Adam Barrett, yeah, why not?
Let's share the love. You gave praise to Cavs, so I thought we were opening the.
I didn't go that far. I said it was a well crafted statement to the South London Press.
I thought this was a new era of caring, sharing, dipping bread in oil.
We could cement a beautiful relationship if only you could get a hold of a mop and bucket and some basic Happy Shopper level disinfectant to slosh around the bird shit up in block one. Maybe that, if that comes to pass next season, then I'll do a tribute show to Cav.
Right, Nick, just because I love you so much, you want me to go up there? You want me to go up there with a mop and bucket for you?
I was actually going to offer to do it.
Yeah,
myself,
that's what I've just done to you. I said I'll do it for you.
I wouldn't mind, you know. There we are, dear listeners. Well, big thank you, Harry. Thanks for joining me impromptu. If anyone wants to join, speak now or hold your peace. If not, then I'm going to say thank you and thank you for listening. And big thank you, Harry Warren. Thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries. I will plug the Lionesses are at home next Sunday, if anyone's interested. It's a fiver, under 16s for a quid. We've got Fulham.
Okay. So, is that at the Den?
It is at the Den.
Oh, not the
official. Not it's at the Den. The girls are getting to play at the Den, which is nice. So, the last home game of the season.
How are they doing this season, Harry? What's the gig with the ladies team? Are they
doing well? Table. The team that's gone up is Dulwich Hamlet, just down the road. They're champions. Mm. Fulham and Dartford took to sort of the last end of the season. Millwall up a mid table. But I will do my best to change it for us all. Hopefully, we'll have a right good go next season, and we'll fucking. We'll be there or thereabouts, hopefully.
Nice one. Up the Lionesses. Big thank you, Harry Warren. Thanks for joining me. Thank you to you too, dear listeners out there, for listening in. We'll put this out as a podcast separately. And do send me your voice notes. I'll try and do a voice note show, depending on how much I receive over the weekend, Sunday or Monday. Depends on what we get. So till then, from Harry and myself, it's arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Achtung, Millwall.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.